How many jobs were created last month?
This podcast is supported by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings for mobile phone service. Try their online savings calculator and save $50 on your device purchase at marketplace.ting.com.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In just a couple of hours, we'll get the most important economic numbers of the month. The Labor Department will tell us how many jobs were created in the U.S. in July and what the new unemployment rate is. For a preview, we're joined by Richard DeKayser. He is an economist with Wells Fargo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Richard, what are you expecting when we get the jobs report later this morning for the month of July?
I think we'll see about 145,000 jobs created, which is nothing great by historical standards. It's very moderate. But the real question is, how does it compare to where we've just been? The previous 3 months, April, May, June, averaged 75,000 very consistently. So if we get back to something in the vicinity of 150,000 or thereabouts, I think that would be encouraging, at least to the extent that we're pulling out of the mud.
Well, Richard, what about the unemployment rate? I mean, we're at 8.2% years after the financial crisis that led to this huge recession. It seems like we're in pretty bad shape still.
We're in bad shape. If where we could be is what most economists regard as full employment, somewhere around 5.5% or 6%. So until we start seeing numbers south of 7%, the labor market still has a way to go.
Now, obviously, this is a business story, an economic story. It's also going to be a political story because we're just a few months out from the election. Do you think that there's any chance that unemployment rate at 8.1% is going to make any kind of significant dip before Election Day?
Oh, I think we might lose a tenth or two between now and November. If we do, I think that would help all the incumbents, the president as well as all the rest. But I think the possibilities of any huge gains are very remote, which at this late stage of the game makes for a very close election climate.
Richard DeKayser, economist with Wells Fargo, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Well, here in the U.S., women represent almost half of the labor force, but in the Palestinian territories, that number is far lower, which is where Maysoon O'Day comes in. She has started a radio station to get more women into the workforce. She joins us now from Ramallah. Welcome.
Hello.
Well, I noticed that right now women make up about 16.5% of the workforce there in the Palestinian territories, which is actually well behind the 26% average for the rest of the Middle East and North Africa. How do you account for that?
I think it's a weak economy in general. It's dependent very much on donor aid. So if there are some restrictions on access to this foreign aid, this affects the employment of men and women, but specifically women in this case. I would also attribute this possibly to some cultural restrictions. We have a patriarchal society. Men are the breadwinners. In certain cases, we have also women who are the breadwinners. But still, we see that males are still dominating senior positions, especially in the private sector.
Well, obviously, you don't have to convince me of the power of radio, but tell me why you decided to start a radio station as opposed to, a business or an organization that would try to help women become empowered in that area.
Yeah, the reason why it's radio specifically is because radio is accessible to everybody. As we know, it's a cheap medium.
Yep.
We like to target women in refugee camps or villages because our social mission is directed towards women in those areas. Such societies have radios. It is very personal medium. You can have your radio in the car. You can have it while you're having your shower. You can have it while you're preparing your dinner. So it's all over.
Well, and of course, radio knows no borders. So do you have listeners in Israel?
Of course, it knows no borders. I mean, listen, by default, we hit Israel as other Israeli radio stations reach the West Bank. We do not have any Israeli listeners because we broadcast in Arabic, but we do have possibly, or maybe certainly, some Arabs who live in Israel.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that women make up 16.5% of the workforce there right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think you can get it up to with the work of your radio station?
I mean, listen, firstly and foremostly, what we're trying to do, yes, increase the number of women in media in senior positions, encourage the public and private sectors to absorb more women in the workforce, given that they are very educated, given that we have lots of qualification for that. Let's hope for something like 25% or even 30% if we can do that. After all, we are 50% of the society.
Maysoon O'Day, who is the founder and CEO of Nisa FM in Ramallah, thanks very much and best of luck with your station.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you very much for hosting us.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up 1.5% right now in Frankfurt and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, though, stocks fell after the European Central Bank failed to give a clear plan to solve the European debt crisis. The Dow lost 92 points to close at 12,878.
This podcast is supported by Ting, the new mobile service that makes sense, bringing billing clarity, usability, and savings to mobile phone users. Ting bills megabytes, minutes, and text messages separately. Ting has no premiums or penalties. You don't pay for more than you use. Businesses and families can have unlimited devices on an account. Save money and better manage your mobile phone usage. Save $50 on your device at marketplace.ting.com. That's marketplace.ting.com.
This Sunday night, NASA's Curiosity rover will be landing on Mars, and the $2.5 billion mission will be getting a little publicity. The landing will be broadcast live on the huge Toshiba screen in New York's Times Square. Sally Herships reports.
Just in case you didn't know, NASA isn't allowed to advertise. So when Toshiba offered the Space Administration the chance to broadcast in pricey Times Square, it was all systems go.
This is the American Space Agency. This is the American people's space agency.
Sarah Ramsey works with NASA. She says this is the hardest mission NASA has ever attempted in the history of robotic planetary exploration. So the agency wants people to see it and to know where their tax dollars are going. In this case, to Mars with rovers.
It is their best-selling hit.
Dr. Mary Lynn Dittmar is a consultant in space, the industry. She says in 2004, when NASA also sent rovers to Mars, she did a study where she found consumer interest in the rovers to be near adoration.
Two little critters that just kept on going. There were windstorms. There was dust all over the panels. They were declared dead on more than one occasion. And so there was drama.
Dittmar says with all the federal budget problems, it's likely NASA is counting on intense geek love to raise support for the space program. From planet Earth, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to Georgia, where two young girls got lost in the forest earlier this week and were found and rescued by their neighbor's chihuahua. That's really all you need to know. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.